Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris Show. I'll tell you what's happened. This Biggie's pitching a perfect game.
Lights out.
Lights out. Oh, and by the way, he's just in off the DL as well, and I'm getting shelled over here. Let me tell you, first of all, West Coast Bob, Chris Jim's good friend.
Gigantic Stephen King fan.
As am I. Now, we have that in common.
Yeah, as long as I've known West Coast Bob, Stephen King reader.
He says, and he's right. Now, I haven't read this book since I was 18 years old, but I loved it. It's a short story. It's a like a novella, 115.
What's it called?
Page.
The Walk?
The Long Walk.
The Long Walk.
And I thought it was kids all from one town, but as the caller told us, and now Bob is weighing in, it's kids from all over the country, 18 years old, who have to compete. They want to compete in the Long Walk, which means you walk at 3 miles per hour as far as you can. Once you dip below 3 miles per hour, you're shot and killed.
How do they measure speed?
They had a device. I remember they had some sort of...
Yeah, that's like a good question.
Is it like a 3 mile mark on the road?
No. I don't remember.
I'm going to stop asking questions.
So, yeah, I haven't read it in 35 years at least, but I loved it. I remember of those four books, you know what else is in that? The Bachman books is that they made that movie out of it. Richard Dawson, The Running Man. Yeah, that's part of the...
The Schwarzenegger film?
Yes.
I have not seen the picture.
I haven't either. I read the...
How did you both miss that? Well, Chris Dem makes sense. I
think you know my stance on Schwarzenegger.
I read the novella. It was great.
And what's the Running Man concept? You have to run until you die?
No, you take on several. They're remaking it now.
Yeah, they are.
Basically, you got to take on different challengers trying to kill you.
Yep.
And you are constantly on the run.
Yep. So essentially, death stalks you running, walking.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's pretty
going to school. Rage. I'll tell you what I remember about Rage is Rage is, again, part of this short series by Richard Bachman, who is Stephen King. And it's a book about a school shooting. And one kid survives it. I think he's the main character. He couldn't get his lock to work on his locker, and he stuck it in his breast pocket. And later, the shooter shoots him right there.
It
hits the lock. And at that time, it's like, well, this is a great dark story. But now Stephen King won't even let it into print because now there have been school shootings so much. So I botched that. All right, I botched The Long Walk.
Yeah.
Long Walk's coming out as a movie, and I am interested. That's soon, this month. And Stephen King said, I'll give you the rights. I'll sell you the rights, but you better make it bleak and dark because that's the way it is. And they are shot on the road as they're walking if they dip below 3 miles per hour. The story was that at the premiere, everybody there was on a treadmill walking at 3 miles per hour.
Great, great concept.
It was really cool. That's a great idea. I botched the
Beatus.
Let's properly introduce it. All right, let's properly introduce it for the first time.
I'm Wilfred Brimley, and I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about diabetes.
There's the expert right there. Now let's get to it, okay?
Because you just kind of offhandedly said, yeah, you probably got diabetes. It might kill you. We got more coming up next.
Yeah, that was kind of how it went, actually.
It was the most offhanded, grim health report ever.
We were up against a hard break.
What'd he say?
Yeah. Well, listen, and so Chris Dim said, what percentage? I don't know. I don't know. Rusty, please research diabetes while we talk with an anonymous caller who knows Stephen King. Long Walk is coming out. Tell us, how do you know Stephen King, Anonymous?
Hey guys, a third generation filmmaker. I work down in Wilmington, and my father's worked with him. I worked with him. He is just, for a guy with a weird and twisted mind, he is just the coolest, like most normal dude.
Isn't that cool?
He'd take the crew out to see his movies at local theaters after work. Loves weird, like, you know, pop music, teeny bopper music. He's just a cool guy.
Yeah. I would love to hang out.
How often have you had a chance to interact with him?
I did a TV series with him that went a couple of seasons. He wasn't around a lot for it, but I'd take 2-3 weeks at a time. He'd be there, just a chair in front of the monitors, hanging out, giving insight.
How about that?
Yeah.
But he'd just show up and walk around, and just a nice guy.
I love it.
Now you say you're anonymous, but do you want to talk about any of the projects you've worked on, or would you keep that private?
I mean, I can kind of talk about them, I could just kind of say, you know, one of them only went a couple seasons and was made here in North Carolina.
Okay. All right.
The rest of them were also down in the Wilmington area, but were in the early 80s.
It's cool to hear what a cool guy Stephen King is. Thank you very much, Anonymous. I've heard that before, that there was a guy who used to book guests for us years ago, and he was from Bangor, Maine, and knew Stephen King okay.
Oh.
And
can we get him?
No.
Don't you know him? Oh, yeah. He'd never come on this show.
His name was John Marshall. And
the Booker.
The Booker was, yeah. Mighty John Marshall, they called him. He used to call me all the time and say, do you want this B-level guest? And I'd say, yeah.
Was he the one who always had the guy who was near the famous people?
Yes. He had.
Do you remember O.J. Simpson?
Yes. Yes.
Do you want a third grade teacher?
Right. That's what we'd get for him. That's right. We'd get that. Anyhow, he knew Stephen King. And Stephen, he told me once that, they knew each other, you know, to speak. If they saw each other on the street, he'd be like, hey, John, hey, how are you? And he told me the same thing. Just such a cool guy. And he told me that Stephen King called him once in the 80s and said, you just lost your legs. And John Marshall said, what do you mean? He goes, you'll find out. And hung up. And in the book, It, there's a guy that's mentioned like in a past reference named John Marshall, whose legs were cut off by the clown.
Like, which is a great lead into diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
It is.
I'm Wilfred Brimley, and I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about diabetes.
I'm so glad you're here for this, Biggie.
You know, they amputate you from the bottom up.
It's the one thing I don't have.
With the sugar.
Or do you? Everyone I know says to me about Biggie, how's his health? I'll say, oh, it's day-to-day. You're like a pitcher. You're day-to-day. And then they say, he's got diabetes, right? And I say, no. And they're like,
amazingly, no.
You're absolutely sure.
You should see my poor finger after I've been to the doctor when they keep pricking it and pricking it. Because they're like, blood sugar can't be right.
Which finger has the sugar?
Everything else that's wrong with you, you don't have diabetes.
Come on.
You've sailed through all the trials clean.
Recent research from the CDC estimates that 44% of people who have diabetes don't know it.
That's an enormous number.
It's almost half. It's almost half. Now, that's worldwide.
Okay.
In the U.S., they say 29 million people have been diagnosed with diabetes. Another 8 million are very likely.
This has to be type 2.
It is type 2.
Okay.
Yes.
Because, if you're born with it, you know pretty early.
They say regular screenings are a must. And you need to immediately change your lifestyle if you have diabetes, because it can lead to such problems.
But it can be controlled.
It can be controlled, so you really need to find out and have a regular screening of it. That is the whole health report. And the new drugs, of course, Ozempic and Mounjaro, are doing great things, not just for weight loss, but for people with diabetes. They're stressing healthy diet and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ozempic, Mounjaro, those were all started as diabetes drugs. In fact, if you recall, when they first started getting big, diabetics were like, excuse me, I can't get my medicine you people are using it.
All the rich, the rich, heavy people.
Cracker Barrel has announced, now just yesterday, not only are they not changing their logo, we're not even cleaning up our stores. We're going to leave them dusty and antique-y. We hear you.
You know what?
You want this old crap? We hear you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. When dust falls into your Uncle Herschel's and you're mad because it fell off a rusty trombone, don't come to us anymore. We're giving you all you want. Here you go.
No more paint. No more clean.
Yeah.
No.
It will be very interesting to see what sales are like. Now, the Cracker Barrel has been through this whirlwind of six weeks.
You know, when we talked about this, when it was really going hot and heavy about the Uncle Herschel logo, I did get some emails because I said, what should they do? I mean, they need
it. Sales are dropping.
Sales are dropping. So they tried to update and got huge backlash. So what should they do? And I got some emails saying, you probably haven't been to Cracker Barrel lately, to me, which is true. And they said, here's what they should do. Serve a better product with better customer service because it's gone downhill. That is what I heard from several people. It's like the food's not quite as good as it used to be, and they don't have the same attention to detail and customer as they used to have. I don't know if that's true, but I heard a lot of that. Mm-hmm. That's why they're losing business. So if I were them, if I were Cracker Barrel, I would have the CEO or somebody go on a television commercial and just say for 30 seconds, we hear you. Not only are we leaving everything the same, we're getting better from a customer service and food standpoint.
Almost like the Chris Kelly standard email reply.
Exactly.
Wow.
I'm sorry. You're right. I failed you. I'm sorry. I'd say that yesterday. Somebody email me.
I wish
me.
They'd come out and be honest. All right, internet bullies, you win. Here's your big checkers and your Dolly Parton paraphernalia. Come on and come get it. You said you wanted it.
Well, I don't think that. I think you have to say.
That's a little too much attitude.
Too much attitude.
Be contrite. Our sales better be up 20%.
Contrite. Take the Chris Kelly model. You're right. Mm-hmm. I failed you. I'm sorry. We must do better. And we will do better. Mm-hmm. So, now, how many of their 660 locations had been updated before the reversal? Four.
Yeah.
Four.
Four restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
And four restaurants had the logo changed. That was it.
Part of me is really going full conspiracy theory on this.
That Cracker Barrel was behind this.
That Cracker Barrel knew mm-hmm. what they were doing.
Mm.
And just because, I mean, people freaked out over the changing of the stores and acted like half their stores had already been changed. In reality, it was just those four. Mm-hmm. How easy is that to flip back?
Yeah, real quick.
I mean, part of me thinks this
stuff's still in a dumpster out back.
Yeah, just get that crap out of the dumpster and put it back on the floor. Yeah.
Part of me thinks this might have been one of the greatest marketing ploys of all time.
Wouldn't that have been
make you hate us to talk about us?
But their stock plummeted.
That part, yeah, but it in the long, if you look in the long run,
mm-hmm. What remains to be seen. We don't know.
Yeah.
Well, will the customers come back?
My commercial would say, we heard you. You want it dirty. You want it stuck in the past. We're doing it. We're staying right where we were.